Some scientists say that hydroxychloroquine is an effective way to stop COVID-19 coronavirus. But other scientists say hydroxychloroquine is not effective in stopping COVID-19. And so we ask, whose hydroxychloroquine science is real?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1242nd edition of the Food Chain Radio Show. Hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Luzon who are tuned into the Food Chain podcast at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, 2020 will go down in history as the year a new coronavirus leaked out of China to create a worldwide pandemic of a disease now known as COVID-19. There is no vaccine for this coronavirus, and therefore there is no protection from its associated COVID-19 disease. Early in the pandemic, U.S. President Donald Trump suggested that hydroxychloroquine, when combined with an antibiotic and a nutrient supplement, might prove to be an effective treatment for the disease when taken either before or after exposure to the virus. Hydroxychloroquine is a medication used by millions of people over the past 65 years to treat malaria, lupus, and rheumatoid arthritis. It has gone off patent and is now manufactured by a number of different places. The president's suggestion that hydroxychloroquine might be an effective weapon in the fight against COVID-19 has been met with outright contempt from the established medical community. There are a significant number of medical studies that prove hydroxychloroquine is effective at treating COVID-19. There are also a significant number of studies that prove hydroxychloroquine is not effective treatment for COVID-19. The conflicting science of hydroxychloroquine has become the subject of political, economic, and medical warfare, with those in control of the nation's media managing which science is being allowed to be presented. That so much is at stake in this war leads us to ask, whose hydroxychloroquine is science is real? Here to help us find an answer, we have Michael Daugherty, who is the president of LabMD, an Atlanta-based antibody testing company. And he is also the author of The Devil Inside the Beltway. Michael, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you for having me, sir. That's quite an intro.
Well, it's quite a story we're in.
It is.
It's amazing. It has me shaking my head. So let's start with you and your LabMD, antibody testing lab. For those out there who don't know what that might be, you want to give a thumbnail?
Yeah, so LabMD, actually, I have two companies. I've got LabMD, and then I own Any Lab Test Now in Northern Virginia, and that is sort of walk-in retail. And then we do antibodies there. LabMD is a 20-year-old pathology, we do pathology, microorganisms, tumor markers, those types of things. So I'm in, you know, the laboratory business, and I'm a healthcare entrepreneur, and I've been doing that for 20 years.
Well, good.
So we're doing antibodies, but we don't run them ourselves. We send them out to Boston Heart, and just like all labs can't do all things, so there's a nest of cooperation and collection, so...
Good.
That's what we do. We don't do the PCR swab test yet because we don't let symptomatic patients into the... We will get to that in a few weeks, so we'll have a separate location for that. You know, it's all... Because we had a bag over our head, the entire country had a bag over the head, everyone's been scrambling, and the scrambling's starting to slow down. But it's been not a great time.
Not a great time.
Well, there's a lot of pressure on people, a lot of misinformation.
Well, that takes us to The Devil in the Beltway.
Right.
What is that?
Well, The Devil Inside the Beltway is about, and actually anyone's listening can just Google LabMD and The New Yorker. The New Yorker wrote a big story about this last November, and you can just download it. But basically, there I was, minding my own business in the middle of in the middle of cancer detection, and someone had hacked the company, and their behavior and the government investigation against the medical laboratory was so astounding And the astounding part was the government blamed me and not the bad guy. And I was so outraged, and I'm so stubborn, and I come from a law enforcement family, that I wrote The Devil Inside the Beltway, and that launched a government investigation, media stuff, a whistleblower came out, and the bottom line is, the government was working with a cyber criminal, and the government was basically the co-conspirator in this entire thing. And when the government's got their hand in the cookie jar, the government uses all their power for no accountability. And that's what's really happened. The company got destroyed. Still an entity, but my energy is up in Virginia and outside of D.C. And we do a lot of other things other than COVID. But the LabMD arm has been suspended since 14. As we go through the politicized judiciary, every branch of government. And so that's the short version. And it's always easier to believe the New Yorker and Business Week articles on it, because what happened is so unbelievable that when you're the victim of it and you say what happened, people don't believe you. We just don't believe victims, and we have to have third party evidence for anything negative. We give everyone the benefit of the doubt. So it's best to read those pieces. Mm-hmm. That will give you great detail, and you'll believe it. Whereas if I say it, you'll think I've got an axe to grind.
Here we are in another brave new world. I mean, What did you say last November? You got into this situation. Well, here we are in 2020, and it's a whole different world all of a sudden. And yet, what we see is that the government seems to be at war with itself over this COVID situation. And one part of the government says this, and the other part of the government says that. And somebody like you, who's been in the thick of this, what's going on?
Well, I mean, just the fact that we say the government's at war with itself is a problem, because, science is not anything that cares about democracy or the vote or your opinion. Science and technology are both mercilessly fact-based. Like, you know, we can't just make ourselves, breathe nothing but some gas other than oxygen and live. I mean, there's certain things we can't change. And yet, and what we've done the last 30 years, I say, in a serious joke, is that for some reason the American public has decided that when you're sick, you should call your congressman. And that the government has actually practiced medicine. The government does not practice medicine. And when we've allowed for the last 30 years then for every aspect of this to get politicized, and we've built this culture, which is at a peak of punishment, of just this aggressive destruction mob mentality. If you dare to not, toe the company line. And so what happens is you just create silencing of people because they don't want you to know what they think. This has gone into medicine as well, because you've allowed academia to be relying on the government for grants, and the NIH controls stuff. And, academia is sort of an arm of the government because that's where they get all their money. And it's really, it's at a massive tipping point where when you're in something like science, you're just supposed to call it the way you see it. And now we have a bunch of wind chasers that, use words like possibly, maybe, could be, woulda, coulda. And we have a mess on our hands. It's really it's eggshell walking, and it permeates outside the medical establishment. So we have a big problem.
So is this? I think what you're saying is that the cancel culture has become entrenched in science.
Yes, absolutely, and it's dangerous. And their masters are not being held responsible because they don't know what the heck they're talking about. It's groupthink. It is, and this is where it is. We have, for some reason, terrifyingly given power over to people that don't have any knowledge in what they're trying to regulate, and they're shame based. So, this whole crowd that went after Trump for hydroxychloroquine, I will just tell you my very strong opinion, and of course I think I'm right. Had anyone else said that, there wouldn't have been an issue. And this is why you have a lot of people saying, you know, well, this study shows this and it's positive. But to me, everyone's missing the point. And that's because almost everyone doesn't understand that this is really about the patient-doctor relationship that the government's trying to crack into. And I mean that when I say that the Federal Drug Administration does not practice medicine, but the media poses it like it does. The FDA approves devices and medications to be marketed in this country for a specific purpose, and they regulate that. Past that, they don't practice medicine, which means if something is approved to be marketed in this country and a doctor wants to use it for something else, the company selling it can't put ads out for it, but the doctor can use it for whatever he wants. And
there's
this
a, there's
is
a term for that, yeah.
Off-label. And the media goes, oh, off-label, off-label. That's true. Off-label is as old as the hills. Off-label is not new. It is not risky. It is not off the wall, you know. But then you've got everyone, all the idiots on the television going, oh, off-label. So do you think physicians have the time or interest to deal with pop culture idiots when they're out trying to save lives? You know, and so it's like, it's ridiculous. So I mean, and these are the exact same people, by the way, that once they get cancer, fly off to Mexico and Germany because they can't get the pills they want here. So they'll turn on a dime with their hypocrisy. So you have it, and this is the perfect pill for off-label. It's old. It's cheap.
Which, it's by cheap. Old, you mean it's been around a while.
50 years old.
There you go.
It's not some new thing. I mean, you want a bunch of fear? Go get your Excedrin bottle out and take your sheet out and see how many pages of lawyer fears there. Okay, so don't, you know, I mean, this is the insanity about how they spin this. Oh, it could do this. Oh, it could do that. Well, you know what? You don't know what you're talking about. You're not a doctor. Go away, Rachel Maddow. It's like you don't know what you're talking. And what's worse is the audiences. Because, oh, well, that sounds logical, so it must be true. No. Your trust as a viewer is being violated. Because it's between you and your doctor. And if you want to take the casket to be safe from the pill, all for it. It's ridiculous.
And so you bring up the notion that the federal government is trying to step in between the patient and the doctor.
That's right.
And they're doing it by, I think, one of the big reasons is by via insurance companies.
And yeah, that's not the most direct hit. The most direct hit is pharmacists. You know, they have, like in Ohio now, they're allowing pharmacists to not fulfill prescriptions. So doctor writes a prescription, and the pharmacist gets to not fill it for hydroxychloroquine. That is terrifying. So this is just, you know, this is crazy making stuff.
So it's like so why wouldn't the pharmacist fill the prescription?
Oh, political pressure because they think they know more and politics.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but this is just getting started here, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson with Michael Dougherty, president of LabMD, and the author of The Devil Inside the Beltway. Today we're taking on the question of hydroxychloroquine. Is it a valid thing for us to hold up as a medicine or something to shun and be frightened of? There's the two positions, and there's the line between them right back.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
We are back on the Food Chain, What's Eating What? Well, today, What's Eating What is this whole notion that hydroxychloroquine has become the subject of a battle, an immense warfare of information and politics and medicine, and it's all scrambled up and made powerful by the impact of the COVID-19 coronavirus. So there is no vaccine for the coronavirus. There's nothing really to protect us. But President Donald Trump said this hydroxychloroquine might work when combined with an antibiotic and some zinc, might protect us, might help us fight off the COVID. And when he said that, the whole world fell apart. where did Donald Trump get the notion that hydroxychloroquine could be a good way to fight COVID-19? Do we have any idea?
Well, he didn't Google it, that's for sure.
That's an incredible point right there. Because if you Google anything that has anything to do with hydroxychloroquine, you'll come up with, it's bad, 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 bad.
Right, because Google controls the algorithm. And it's I mean, you know, I wonder what it would say before he said it, okay? So because it's you look at the article and Politico, I think, or was it Real Clear Politics last week about the number of positive versus negative? You know, or you look at the Henry Ford study, they're freaking out because they're really, really wrong. They're really wrong. And, you know, and the point is they're really wrong because, and this is the danger of sending everyone to the Google School of Medicine and making science some sort of debate with non-trained minds. And I don't care how smart you are. There's no such thing as black and white anything ever in anything in medicine, ever. Which is why when you have cancer, you don't get just one chemo. And they try some and say those because they see how it goes. Because when you've seen one human body, you've seen one human body. And yet suddenly we are going to take, this to me, it shows how low people will sink for their political preservation, is you take something like this and you leap into what you don't know what you're talking about, and woe to them if hydroxychloroquine actually turns out to be helpful. So what's the next stage that the media does? Kill the story. If we're proven wrong, we kill the story. We suppress the information. And it's not black and white. You're going to have people with hydroxychloroquine that doesn't work on. Hydroxychloroquine, by and large, sort of pulls the reins in early. You don't want to get people so far down the road. If they're going to get sick, you don't want them to get as sick. It's not black and white. So any time someone's going cure, absolute anything, you know you're talking to a non-professional, non-medically trained amateur. And this is what lives on social media. And that's fine if you want to talk about what color the sky is. When you start talking about, you know, practicing medicine, all this stuff, this is very dangerous stuff. And one day the house might fall down on you, and it's going to be you or your mother. And then you're going to go, gosh, what do I have to lose? It's an old drug. It's been used all over the world. It's handed out all over the place for malaria. I've got my physicians here. They'll take my heart profile. They'll watch what I'm doing. If I have the proper medical relationship, you know, I'll make a decision based on my own personal health. That's it. You know, and yet you've got these people thinking it's black and white, one or the other, and it's just a shark fight. And it's frankly appalling. And I get very angry when physicians get involved in it. And that's what got me upset about Fauci. Because when he starts participating in this, like, wait a minute, sir. You know, if it wasn't FDA approved, that'd be completely different. But
it is FDA approved, and it's been used for 65 years.
Right.
By millions of people.
And he's not a GI, and he's not a surgeon, and he's not an infectious disease person that's run these hospitals. I mean, it's crazy. You know, he's an animal of the bureaucracy. And
he's very good at that.
Well, welcome to the NIH, right? And welcome to CDC. I mean, this is what happens when you take a human being and you put them in a bureaucracy for a long time. You know, small businessmen do terrible in big corporations, and big corporations do, you know, businessmen do, executives do terrible in a small business. It's a different mindset, and these people are not trained for this. You know, and so, you know, what's appalling me is that it's like, wait a minute, this can hurt people. Why do we have to be so absolute? This is nuts.
There's a paper put out by Harvey Risch, who is a professor of epidemiology at Yale School of Public Health.
Right.
And in it, he makes a statement: in the future, I believe this misbegotten episode regarding hydroxychloroquine will be studied by sociologists of medicine as a classic example of how extra scientific factors overrode clear-cut medical advice.
Amen.
a sociological phenomenon.
Yes, so, and it's terrifying.
It's terrifying because so many people are dying, and we have little or no way of getting out the truth of this situation because the truth is a political football.
And I've been on both sides of this. I mean, before I got pulled in with this government fight, that I chose to continue. I mean, I could have taken my destruction and my lickings and gone home and started over and just thought I had bad luck. But I decided, unknowingly, what was coming, to walk through the fire and observe the beast. And I know that it's very difficult for Americans that are working every day and are never involved in the political process to really take in that we're not real to these people. We're just numbers. We're just pawns. We're just statistics. We're not real. And they know how to abdicate any responsibility with the words they use. And they're words like potentially, maybe, possibly, could, theoretically. There is always an out. These people are very intelligent, and they're not nice. You know, and we're seeing a live demonstration of what we've allowed to build in this country, really since Woodrow Wilson. So we've allowed no accountability for this type of government representative behavior.
Well,
and
you know,
that's the dangerous part.
Yeah, we see this happening elsewhere too, and most notably in China, and its relationship with the World Health Organization. Do you see any parallels there?
I do, because it's the human condition. It's not a race condition. It's not a cultural condition. It's humans with power. I mean, this is how despotic regimes work, right? They seduce you, and once they have you in, they cut your head off. So the seduction is, kumbaya, all will get along, all will save you, all will do this. And the problem now is, you know, we're relatively young in the age of recorded history. We don't really, you know, we don't have, video shots of 1662, you know,
right, right.
But in the later this century, we'll have all sorts of video shots of the 20th century. It's not a pretty picture. And so we learn from history, and so the tension is greater. Look at Venezuela. Look at China. And so you look back on the 20th century congressmen that are in their graves that enabled these relationships based on trust of the untrustworthy. You know, and they also immunized everyone working in the government from accountability and criminal accountability. Mm-hmm. And now it's just blowing up in our face because technology and science are really hitting a stride. And you've got these people that are controlling this, and they're using it as tools against humanity. It's very troubling.
Well, there's been essentially, as I understand it, three different objections to the use of hydroxychloroquine by the medical establishment and by the press. And how did the press become the medical establishment, by the way?
They scream loudest. And they have a political agenda because the press isn't the press. The press is now the campaign manager for the government. And the administrative state and all the tentacles. I mean, you know, they're a profit machine, and they make their money off eyeballs and roadkill. And it's power.
So with respect to money, I saw a company in India promised that the COVID-19 vaccine, when it comes, that they will make it for $3 a dose. I got to thinking, well, there are 8 billion people in the world. So if we each get a shot of their COVID-19 vaccine at $3 a pop, that's $24 billion a pop. That's a lot of money. Is that what we're talking about?
That's a drop in the bucket for medicine and vaccine and the world and the costs. And there's a whole lot to learn about before that goes into my body.
Amen. Let's pick that up later, but let's go to these three objections.
Okay.
Objection number one, of course, is that the medication has become highly politicized. It is viewed as a marker of political identity on both sides of the political spectrum. I don't really feel that way myself, but I know there are others who do feel that way.
And well, they can have their feeling. I mean, it's really none of your business, right? I mean, I'll say to all of them, none of your business. I mean, who the hell are you? I mean, it's like, you know, you can tell me if you don't like the color of my house or what your opinion is about something else. But when it comes to my relationship with my physician, I mean, these are the same people that scream and yell about HIPAA and privacy, and they want to just come in here and flip the game board. And so it's not one side versus the other. It really isn't. It's just you are not going to see an ethical group of doctors talk about a medication like this and lose their mind. It just doesn't happen. And you know what? It's fine. Because when you practice medicine, you're not part of a committee. You're responsible. Like the pilots for the plane. They're the pilot in command. Right. It's not air traffic control's fault. And it's the doctor's responsibility. That's why they go to medical school. That's why it's hard to get in. That's why they're responsible. You don't want some administrator hasn't been to medical school telling you what to do. And that's what we've allowed to happen. Or insurance carriers. Now, the insurance carriers aren't that into hydroxychloroquine right now. Because quite frankly, if hydroxychloroquine was really effective, they'd be so happy.
It's so cheap.
Cheap.
So the fact that it is marked as a political line in the sand, you're on one side or the other, or you're toast.
If
you're on the wrong side, then you're my enemy. If you're on the right side, you're my friend. And that's where one of the big problems I see is where we stand with hydroxychloroquine. And the second thing is the drug has not been used properly in many studies.
So says who?
Says who?
It all based on says who. I mean, those are the type of comments.
Well, this is being said by those who object to hydroxychloroquine.
Right, of course. Because they're always going to say that. And that's a red herring. It's a red herring. You can always have that agreement 7 days a week, all day long. Okay, Dr. Know-It-All, don't use it for your patients. That's fine. This is FDA approved. The side effects are well known. It is a physician. Mind your own business. They're wrong. I mean, you know, if this wasn't a death sentence, maybe, okay? But I'm like, what do you tell someone? Oops. Oh, we want to run a 2-year test. And after, to all the families of people that died in the meantime, we're sorry. I mean, this is not an argument for guinea pig behavior. It's an approved, used drug. That can't be stated enough.
And yet, they're not approving it. They're not releasing it, are they?
Right, but they want to run a vaccine through, you know, that's brand new. I mean, do you see the hypocrisy inherent in who these people are? Which is why I ask, who's saying that?
Well, it's the people who don't want us to take hydroxychloroquine for COVID-19.
And why don't they want to? Right.
Well, now that's the question. What is the objection? I can't quite get.
Well, they're never going to admit the objection. They're never going to admit the objection because it's a very nasty admission, which is it's about power and control. They want to control the health care of the government of the U.S. because that's power. Whoever controls health care controls power, because in this country, most of us don't get sick until later in life. So we're sitting ducks because we don't have direct experience to really know. Just because we've been to the doctor doesn't mean we understand medicine. We trust our physician. And if they gain control, then there's no greater fear than health and wellness. And they want to build that dependency. So when Donald Trump just strolls up to the lectern and goes, blah, 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 that makes him insane. It makes them insane, you know, and then they lose their minds and then they calm down and then they better be right. You know, they better. What if it turns out that it has helped people and we're not going to know for a few years and it's going to be over? And trust me, if it turns out it helps people, all the energy will go on burying the story. And they listen, confusion and doubt equals death. So they know how to do this. I mean, well, this is what they do on all sorts of topics.
And the extent to which they have the ability to bury a story is now monumental.
Yes, because the tech world has decided to get all burying themselves as well.
And if you were to go search in Google for a favorable scientific study on the impact of hydroxychloroquine on COVID-19, you have to look pretty hard.
That's right.
I tried. They've disappeared.
Right, because they're all politicized. They don't even know. But they've got power. Zuckerberg's a multi-billionaire. He's got more money than most countries of the world. They have incredible power. We let that beast grow really quickly.
Okay, going to take a quick break. Folks, this is Michael Olson. I am talking with Michael Dougherty, who is the author of The Devil in the Beltway. And I probably, by now, you would probably guess who that devil white might be from the way we've been talking here. This is Food Chain, right back.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
So we're going through the objections to hydroxychloroquine by the medical establishment. The one being, of course, is that it's a politicized issue, and therefore, forget about it. If you're on my side of the political line, you're good. If on your other side, you're bad. Go away. And that's that. The other, second objection is that the drug has not been properly tested. And it probably hasn't been properly tested for hydroxychloroquine because nobody knows what they're doing with it yet. But one of the things I see in the negative tests is that they administer the hydroxychloroquine late in the sickness.
So there you have the half-truth and the sneaky trick, because that's exactly right, which is why when most hospitals, at least in Atlanta where I'm at right now, I know 2-3 months ago, I don't know what's happening now, but the patient walked in the door, they were given a Z-Pak and hydroxychloroquine. Boom. I mean, because what you want to do is, the damage of hydroxychloroquine, I mean, of COVID-19 is in the late stages when it permanently invades and it just turns your lungs into a mess and a lot of other things we don't know about because, of course, all disease impacts people differently. And so you want to keep people from falling deep in the hole. So whatever can slow down the descent so that you maybe go halfway in the hole, not the whole way in the hole. And this is where I talk about the imperfection of medicine, and that's normal. Okay, but what all these non-medical people doing are acting like this is a Ford assembly line. But the challenge of medicine, which is why it's so hard to become a physician, why you're supposed to have a higher brain function than most to deal with it, which is why this is so dangerous when Google starts practicing medicine and selecting what information we get, is that you can't, this is a multifaceted, multivariable, 724 ever-changing thing. So vaccines are educated guesses. Diseases are educated guesses. They're constantly adapting. And it's like the movie Aliens. You know, it's constantly, it's an organism that is in survival mode that constantly morphs and changes. So when, let's take the flu, right? And we're going to make the flu vaccine for 2022. So in 2021, they're going to look at the virulent flus and what's starting in Asia and what strand.
I always figured it was two guys in Kowloon. who are out making the flu out in their garage, you know?
Yeah, that's it. And then they're going, and then they're spinning, and they're in a bar drinking beer and flipping a coin. But and who knows? That might be just as successful because I say it's an educated guess, and it's a guess based on the best education they have at the time. But that's a year ahead of when it's going to strike, and then they have to play the odds based on past history and knowledge and what they see then, and then they play the odds. It's a risk game, and then they create a vaccine, and sometimes they hit it, and sometimes they don't. I mean, if it was so easy, folks, we'd have disease solved years ago. You know, the expectation that people have now, because so many were just zipped out of the room with a camera on them and a smartphone in their hands, is terrifying. I mean, we have more and more people in adulthood now that don't have to know cursive, don't have to know spelling, don't have to learn anything, can look everything up. They can slide by. They don't have to know how to add. If they want to get a job, the computer will do it for them. And so what they don't know is how to think.
Yeah.
You know, and they think everything's a finger snap. And so there's a terrifying amount of people, therefore, that can be bamboozled by these arguments. And really, the argument of whether hydroxychloroquine works or not isn't even a valid argument to me. I mean, it really is none of your business. I keep saying it over and over. I'm like, it's between me and my doctor. You know?
And that's what they're trying to take away.
That
as you say, is totalitarianism at its best.
And they know not to say that directly. So you better use your eyes and pay attention.
Okay, so the third and final reason that they look down on hydroxychloroquine is that the FDA says that there has been indications of cardiac arrhythmia, especially when hydroxychloroquine is given with the antibiotic. And but a lot of these drugs were given, or these tests, or these indications came from people who were taking hydroxychloroquine for malaria or rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or something like that. And so that they see the cardiac arrhythmia in those patients and then they tack it on to the COVID case as well.
So this is the irony of this.
That's kind of like the misdirection game with the shell, with the pee in the
shell.
Well,
now it's kind of like, let's pretend COVID wasn't start right now. These same people are the ones that scream that the FDA is so slow and the FDA is so cautious and the FDA doesn't do anything. And so I'm sick, so I'm going to Mexico or Germany. Okay? And then we have the right to try. The legislation that was trying to go through, because it's you know, now this thing hits, and suddenly everyone's like, I go to the same argument. It's none of your damn business. I mean, that's what we have physicians. What is this? The drug's not perfect, so we don't use it? Is that what we do? Since when? You know, and none of that's news, by the way. None of that's news. That's not some new discovery. So what the heck's going on at the FDA? It's just like the CDC. You know, you have Democrats plus Republicans that are multiple time outnumbered by bureaucrats. These are people that sit in these chairs of power that are appointed. They have no experience in really public debate, public education, public health. They're suddenly overnight got a microphone in their hands and they're covering their butt for political reasons. Because you better walk the line with Fauci or you know, whoever. So I find it outrageous, but I also understand how it can fool so many people because I just coincidentally have been in this world for 30 years. So I can see the nuances and call them out. Most people can't. You know, I'm like, oh, heart arrhythmia. Oh, my gosh, who wants that? Really? Give me my heart arrhythmia or give me death. Which would you like? So I've got a doctor watching what's going on. It's not like people are given hydroxychloroquine, their heads explode, and they drop over dead in the street. So we have a complication. So we manage the complication. Because, you know what, I have a doctor and a team observing me. What is wrong with people?
And they're doing what they've been trained to do.
That's right.
And what they took an oath to do as well. Now, I don't know of any of those bureaucrats who took that same Hippocratic oath, did they?
Or media people. Twitter. Or the head of Facebook. Listen, it's amazing. You've got Twitter and Facebook taking down Trump's commentary, but they've got pornography on there. They help with child trafficking. You've got tools that are used by terrorists. I don't see the same energy for that. And so these self-righteous billionaires who have some guilt trip of their unbelievable good fortune, because really it was luck, you know, are sitting here trying to put themselves in seats of power. Well, and they really should keep their hand off the controls of the plane because they're going to crash it.
But that's okay because they haven't... they bought Hawaii. They have their own island, you know. So
right,
they meant well, and trust me,
there will be no accountability when that's proven. Because if you dare say that about them, they're going to cut off your platform.
And they do. Now, let's go back to this notion that government or those in power, would include the government, but certainly not limited to the government. Certainly include, you know, the media folks that are running things and the big pharma, and on and on and on. The objective is to separate you from your doctor, as you said. And so I have a friend who was looking at some of these scientific studies that say early, if taken early, hydroxychloroquine is effective. And, you know, there's a lot of statistics that point in that direction.
This is a recording.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is a recording, yes. And so he went to his doctor, and he got a prescription for hydroxychloroquine. But he could not buy any hydroxychloroquine with that prescription.
What state was he in?
California.
California, New York, Ohio. You know, Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. Blue, blue, blue. Government control, government control, government control. It's about human control. And that's what happens. Big law, big government, big corporations. It's so ironic that the liberals of today idolize the 21st century industrialists, and they go for it. It's crazy.
It's flipped.
The 20th century liberals just hated Ford and all of that. And the 21st century, they don't get it. They think Elon Musk is a god. You know, they love Steve Jobs and Apple and Microsoft and Bill Gates. They love it. And I'm like, God, we've got so many stupid people. It's a nasty combination of no life experience and a whole lot of power.
So what do you think, Michael? If you came down with a COVID-19, would you grab some hydroxychloroquine and some antibiotic and some zinc and give it a try?
Yeah, I would. You know, I have I've been in medicine for 30 years, so I know a ton of physicians and I know who's good and I know how to get it. And I would, you know, and this is the thing. It's, you know, you've got these politicized medical networks, you know, and you've got, it's really, really terrifying. California, the culture of, I mean, this is the danger of groupthink. This is the danger. This is how, and I hate saying this because it sounds so cliche, but this is when you get a community of people, it's like Germany in the 30s, that start enabling evil, completely convinced that they're enabling good. That is dangerous, dangerous stuff. And it starts with any environment, whether it's government or your HOA or your company or any environment where your own ideas can get you isolated and fired.
Do you know,
we used to have the freedom to make a complete fool of ourselves. And there could be accountability. The people would lie to you, would fight with you and yell at you and maybe not like you. But, you know, and then the fight was over and then, you know, the next day it had lunch. But no, not anymore. Now we want to destroy their livelihood, and we think they're terrible to the soul, and we isolate and go after them, and it's okay to destroy property. And this is, you know, this never works. How many, it's terrifying, all the technology that people have, and yet the internet has learned to scrub anything that doesn't work for its agenda.
Do you know, I asked that question to an associate earlier today, anticipating this conversation, and I asked her, if you were to come down with COVID-19, would you take the hydroxychloroquine and the antibiotic and the zinc? And she said, I don't know. I can't say. And later, when there were no other people around, she approached me and she said, don't you dare ask me that question in front of people.
Right. There you go. And that's what that's about. Gaslighting, crowd control, fear. It's easy. It's old. It's wash, rinse, repeat of what happens with despots. It's what the plan is to come in and infiltrate this country. It's about power.
Do you know of any untoward effects of hydroxychloroquine taken for COVID-19?
Well, yeah, sure. There's risks like everything else, but that's again a risk reward ratio that's individually calculated based on your own individual health history. Okay, so if you've got an asthmatic that has obese, that has high blood pressure and heart problems with a diabetic, and they're 89 years old, gosh, I think they're not built for this fight anyway.
Yeah.
You know? And so So again, this is the very nature of anyone. That, it's kind of like, you ever see that movie, My Cousin Vinny, when she screams, she gets asked the question on the stand, and she screams, it's an unanswerable question. It's a trick question. That's what those are. Those are trick questions, because no one really that knows what they're doing would make a decision based on so little information. That's like, you know, saying, you know what, I'm going to prescribe this without an examination. Yeah. You know, I mean, who does that? Who does that? But that's what they're doing. They're all prescribing without examination, and they're generalizing everything. And that's because 99% of us have not been involved in medicine or gone to medical school. And so how would we know? So we can say the dumbest things possible, and it drives the minority people that have education nuts.
And when you're proven wrong, you just bury the story and move
That's
on.
That's right. When you're proven wrong, you just talk about something else. So,
Michael Doherty, have you ever seen anything as crazy as this hydroxychloroquine story and in COVID-19? Have you ever seen anything
well,
this bizarre?
Well, I have. In a way, I have, because to me it's like the new and improved Obamacare. I mean, everyone in medicine, believe me, was just insane. Because this is what I want to point out. Where's the American Medical Association? What people don't know is that about 26% of doctors belong, and three-quarters of doctors hold that association in contempt because they don't do anything.
Okay, Michael Doherty, we're out of time here, but gosh, thank you for joining me on the Food Chain Radio program, and good luck out there, ladies and gentlemen, with your decision with respect to hydroxychloroquine. Hopefully, you will have the decision to consult a doctor and make your own decision, unless you happen to live in one of those states. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends miss the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.